Good morning. I'm Pastor Joe Brazino from Locust Grove Church, and I want to welcome you to our Sunday morning church service, or at least the teaching part. And this morning, we're going to begin a new series that I've entitled, Perilous Times Shall Come. So since you are in the comfort of your home or wherever you are watching this video, if you have your Bible handy, and I would encourage you to get your Bible so that we can look at the scripture together. I always minister out of a New King James Version, though at times I might allude to other translations. So if you're with me and if you have your Bible handy, open it up to 2 Timothy chapter 3 with me, please, as we explore this new subject on perilous times shall come. I've been praying about this. You know, I don't find it coincidental that the series that we just finished on Just Connect would be somewhat, in a way, prophetic. The need to connect with Christ, the need to connect with each other. Because when we begin it, we were meeting together, but in the middle of the series, then all of a sudden we were not meeting together. But it gives us ample opportunity to still reach out to connect. And it kind of heightened the need for us to be able to connect. Amen? So this morning we're going to kind of take a different direction. And I want to minister God's word in a way that is practical to all of our lives. So if you're with me, before we read the scripture, let's go ahead and pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, Lord. We can truly say with King David, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father, for ministering to hearts and lives even now as we pray, God. Father, may your word be received. May we be taught by your word, by your Holy Spirit. We give you thanks for infusing trust and faith in our lives, God, during this time especially. It is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray. Amen. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 1, okay? But know this, that in the last days, perilous times shall come, or will come. In the last days, perilous times will come. Now, we're going to define the word perilous here shortly, but I want to heighten or highlight to you what it says first, that in the last days, in the last days. How many of you believe that you and I are living in the last days? I believe we are living in the last days. In fact, let me break it down to you like this, because the Bible, you know, the Bible speaks of a beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but it also speaks of an end of time. And, you know, when Jesus Christ will come back to the earth and set up his 1,000-year period reign, and those of us who love him and follow him and seek to serve him, we will reign together with him on planet earth as he has established his earthly kingdom. But the Bible speaks of the end of times in three different stages, all right? The first one you can find in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The chapter there speaks of that we are now living at the end of all the ages. You realize that all of human history has been kind of divided by the theologians, the experts, as ages. There's an age of innocence before Adam and Eve sinned. There's an age of conscience after they sinned. There's an age of human government. And you go on. Now we're living in the church age. But after the church age, then comes the millennial reign, when thus marks the end of time as we know it here on planet Earth. But that's the end of the ages. And then the second designation that we see here in 2 Timothy 3:1 is the last days. So it's much more refined. It's much more specific. It's not an end of an era. It's the last days of that era. Okay, and I believe that that's where you and I are living. And then it goes on to say, you know, in the Bible, that there is the final hour. I do not believe that we are yet living in the final hour, but we're definitely living in the last days, okay? So it says here, one of the signs of the last days is there shall be perilous times. Now, I took 3 semesters of biblical Greek, very, very difficult courses that I took, because Greek is the most exact language in the history of humanity, and it's the same language by which which the New Testament was written. And so when I studied that, you know, it enabled me to look up words. And so I looked up that word perilous, and it's the Greek word halepos. Halepos, which means this. Listen, it means violent times. In the last days, there will be violent times. Would you agree with me this morning that there are violent times? You know, South Chicago, other parts of the country, drive-by shootings, gang banging, all that kind of stuff. And then you have these, you know, public shootings, mass shootings. Those are violent times. All right? And so, you know, that's a sign, Jesus said, that we would be living in the last times. Well, we're living that, you know. Now, thankfully, because we don't have crowds as large meeting together, you don't hear of any mass shootings necessarily. But there for a while, it was, you heard of two or three a week. Whereas before, when I was growing up, the only mass shooting I heard of was that nut job that went up to the tower at UT Austin and began to, you know, just, you know, pluck off people down below, students on the campus of University of Texas. And so, you know, that was like the only one. That was such an atrocity, and it when it was. But now they are more, they're abounding everywhere and all too frequently. We are living in dangerous times. Now, but then I look further at that word, and if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. Hold your finger with me in 2 Timothy 3:1. Matthew 8, verse 8. Matthew 8, verse 28, pardon me. Matthew 8, 28. When he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs. Notice the word, exceedingly fierce. Exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. Why do I draw attention to that cross reference where it says they were exceedingly fierce? Because that word fierce in the Greek language is also the word halepos. So in Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3:1, we could also translate that verse, and correctly so, in the last days there shall be fierce times. There shall be fierce times. Would you agree with me that these are fierce times? You know, we just pointed out a couple of signs that we are living in the last days. But there's also yet another sign. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, please. I have these verses here in my little phone. Matthew chapter 24, we're looking at quite a few verses. Matthew 24, 6. Matthew 24, 6. So there will be fierce times in the last days. Jesus brings up another sign of the fierce times. Notice verse 6. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end of time is not yet. Okay? So what is another sign? Rumors. Rumors of wars. Okay, in another gospel, Jesus talked about that there would be pestilences. That's a King James Version. Another translation uses the word plagues. Yet another translation uses the word epidemics. Okay, what is a pandemic? What we are experiencing now is a pandemic. It's an epidemic on a worldwide scale. That is a pandemic, and that's what we're living through. The whole world is. And you know, with every passing day, I try to tune into the news just to get enough of it, because honestly, I've had my fill of the COVID-19 news, and I just fill myself up with God's word to stay positive and hopeful, and knowing that my God is ultimately in charge of this period of our time in history. But there are pandemics. Last night, I watched a movie, Contagion. It was a 2011 movie that talks about, you know, kind of what we're living. It was very eerie in that it was quite prophetic. The stuff they talked about back in 2011 in that movie, you know, they say that art imitates life. Well, that was no exception last night or in that movie that was shot, released, 2011. And they talk about social distancing. Now it's a buzzword now in our culture, in our vocabulary. But the directors, the producers foresaw that. And then they talked about 10 feet of distance. Well, we're trying to keep ourselves away 6 feet of distance. It was just all too, it hit close to home. All that said to say that we are living in fierce times. We are living in fierce times. And as I brought up already, rumors are a part of the fierceness. Okay, what do I mean by that? Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, please. Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah chapter 51. And we'll look at another verse of scripture, because with fierce times come fierce rumors. All right? I want you to see this. Verse 46, Jeremiah 51, verse 46. And lest your heart faint, and you fear, listen carefully, and you fear for the rumor that will be heard in the land. And you fear for the rumor that will be heard in the land. And what's God saying? Notice the next part. A rumor will come 1 year, and after that, in another year, a rumor will come, and violence in the land. Okay? What's he talking about there? He's talking about violence. He's talking about rumors. So we see that anytime there's calamity, when there's all these fierce times, along with the fierce times come rumors. And he says here to take heart so that our hearts would not faint because of fear of the rumors. Okay, let me stop there. Let's talk about the fear of the rumors. Because, why is that important? Because I find, you know, I've heard it said several times, during this pandemic crisis, during this time of uncertainty, during this time of anxiety and being on edge and being frustrated and kind of cooped up in your house and so forth. Man, I can hardly wait to go back to the gym. I can hardly wait to go back to Starbucks. My gosh. I can hardly wait to go sit down and eat a Mexican restaurant or at a Mexican restaurant. I'm not going to eat the restaurant. I'm going to eat their food. but I can hardly wait to go back there and enjoy life as we typically should live it. Amen. But with the calamities, with the crises, God's saying there come rumors, and he's saying, watch your heart, lest you grow faint because of the rumors. Notice what it says here, because of the rumors, not because of the crises. Interesting thought. I have a feeling that, and my original thought was, I think the fear of something is far worse than the thing itself. I think being afraid of this coronavirus, which I'm sure a lot of people are. Are you afraid, Pastor Joe? No, I'm not afraid. My trust is in the Lord. No weapon formed against me and you will prosper. And, you know, it shall come near me, but 10,000 shall fall at my hand, 1,000 at my left hand, but no pestilence will have its effect on me. I'm trying to live wisely. I'm trying to be judicious. I'm trying to see life from a standpoint of approaching it with wisdom and prudence and common sense. I'm not going to tempt fate. I'm not going to do something dumb like a lot of those spring break college kids were doing. doing in Florida? Are you kidding me? Or South Beach? Yeah, there in Florida. I was thinking of South Padre Island in the great state of Texas. But they were saying, this is a time for us. Well, you know, now some reports are surfacing that they got the virus. Well, surprise, surprise. You got to use wisdom. But God is saying, don't be afraid of the rumors. You know, the CDC, and I have nothing but admiration for our medical personnel, and I have nothing but admiration and love, and my prayers go out to them for those working around the clock tirelessly, beyond hours they should be working just to facilitate the need of this, of these infections, of this disease, of this virus. Wow. But I remember Dr. Anthony Fauci, I believe, he said something that as soon as he said, I was watching live TV, he said he's an expert. He knows more than I do. Okay, I want to qualify that. He said, this could be a seasonal thing. And you know, the first thing that popped into my mind was not what he said, because he's saying that out of a professional, listen, of an expert opinion. But it's not concrete truth. It's not existential truth. It's not empirical evidence at this point that it'll be seasonal. But what first hit my mind is, I wonder how many families already were like, oh, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it now. I can't take this house full of kids. Go back to school. I can't take not going to work. I can't take not going through the Starbucks drive-thru. Yes, it's a real concern. I can't take this. I can't take that. And now it's going to be seasonal. You know, that's the first thing that popped into my mind. What does God say to all that? Rumors are going to come. Rumors are going to go. There's going to be a rumor this year. Next year, there's going to be a different rumor. And God is saying, listen, don't be frightened. Don't let your heart grow faint. Let me read that Matthew 24 passage yet again, because Jesus says it well. He says here, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Notice the next phrase. See that you are not frightened. See that you are not frightened. What's Jesus saying? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Pastor Joe, it's just easy for you to say. Well, number one, I'm not the one saying it. Jesus said it. Number two, the Old Testament says it. The New Testament says it. So, number three, why do you fight so hard for the right to be afraid? Yoo-hoo. What are you allowing to pump into your system, your belief system, your thought life, your convictions during this time? Is it, this is going to spell the end of civilization? This is going to cause us to go into a depression, an economic depression? Is that what you're thinking? Are you thinking, oh, I can't stand this anymore? I can't take it for another week, much less it becoming seasonal? Is that what you're thinking? Now, church family, we've got to be careful. We have to guard our hearts. We don't want our hearts to grow faint. Amen? All right, I'm gonna quote you another scripture in Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 26. It says here, disaster will come upon disaster, and rumor will be added to rumor. Then they will seek a vision from a prophet, but the law will be lost from the priest and counsel from the elders. Do you see that every time there's calamity, every time there's disaster, every time there are fierce times, there are perilous times, there are dangerous times, rumors will abound, rumors will proliferate. And what is God saying to all that? Don't be afraid of the issue, of the real crisis, and much more, don't be afraid of the rumors. God gives us a heads up. Fierce times will come. All right? Now, since we started with 2 Timothy chapter 3, go with me to chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1. It says here, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let me break down that verse down for you. Notice, God has not given you the attitude, the disposition, the spirit of fear. Well, then why am I afraid, Pastor Joe? Because you have allowed the wrong kinds of rumors. You've allowed rumors to impact your heart and your mind to where now you're startled. Now you're afraid. Now you find it hard to believe the promises of God. You find it hard to trust God to provide for you, to take care of you, to take care of your own. And I know these are very hard times. People are getting laid off left and right, losing their jobs. I get that. And my heart goes out to you. But church family, I'm telling you that God's going to take care of you. King David said in the book of Psalms, I believe it's Psalm 35, he said, 35:27, I think is what it is. But anyway, don't hold my feet to the fire. I've been known to misquote scripture. I was young and now I'm old and I've never seen God's people forsaken, the righteous forsaken, or their seed, their children, out begging for bread. Huh? Do you believe that promise? Do you trust that promise? Or do you believe, I'm losing my 401k. I've lost so much on paper. It's rebounding, baby. Just take a deep breath. It's rebounding. So it says here, because since God has not given us a spirit of fear, listen, that says to me, number one, fear does not come from God. The fear you're experiencing is not from God. John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Fear does not come from the Lord. Fear comes from the enemy. Fear is a human condition that can be submitted to the Lord and allow the Lord to fill our hearts with peace and strong trust during these hard times. Amen? All right. So it says here, so number one, it did not come from God. Number two, because it did not come from God, I don't have to live with fear. I don't, that thought in itself is very revolutionary. A lot of people think that, this is a part of, this is the way we should feel as God's people. We call it being concerned. No, baby, you're not concerned. You're frightened. Jesus said in Matthew 24:6, see that your hearts be not frightened. See that your hearts not be frightened. He's telling us. He says he's given us a spirit of power. Of power. You know what fear makes us? Fear makes cowards of us all. That's a Vince Lombardi quote, if you want to know the source, right, Gene? It's a Vince Lombardi quote. He said, fear or weariness and fear makes cowards of us all. So God gives us power. I have found that fear makes us live as slaves, as victims. I'm not a victim and I'm not a slave to fear. Let me say here, I know from whence I speak. I've been involved in dangerous times. You know, back in 2013, I was running my first Boston Marathon. What a dream come true. A dream come true for me. A young man, I consider myself still young, but back then, younger. And I had been running all of my adult life, and that was always the holy grail for me of road races, was to have a chance to run the Boston Marathon. And by the grace of God, 2013, I had that opportunity. And I was so thrilled, and I was just about a half mile from the finish when all hell broke loose, as you can imagine. I did not know at that time that I was going to survive that, to be quite honest with you. In fact, I had called my spouse at the time on my phone. I carry my cell phone when I run marathons. And I said, hey, everything's okay. Everything's fine. Just trying to reassure. I don't think she wasn't watching TV or keeping track necessarily. I don't think she understood the magnitude of the moment I was in. And so I remember saying something to her at that point. And I said something like, hon, I just want to let you know that I love you. And I said that in a way that was serious, but without startling her. Because quite honestly, at that point, I didn't know if more bombs were going to go off and if we were going to be affected by them. I'm not trying to be dramatic. This is the gospel truth that I'm telling you right now. I prayed and I thought, you know, at that moment I was submitting to resignation. I thought to myself, I guess this is the way it's going to end for me. But by the grace of God, it wasn't. Thank God. But I understand dangerous times. I understand fierce times. I understand people being in need. I've been there. I've looked at it in the face. I get it. Listen, church family, but I've chosen to live without fear in my life. And I'll continue to live without fear in my life. You know, there's a German proverb that says, fear makes the wolf look much bigger than it is. Interesting, huh? So let's wrap this up. God's given us a spirit of power. God's given us a spirit of love. Why is that important to know? 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love, what does it do to fear? Drives it out. God's given us power. God's given us love. And notice the third one. God's given us a sound mind. Don't you want soundness in your mind? Don't you want, when your head hits the pillow at night, that you drift off to peaceful sleep instead of not being able to sleep because you have all these worrisome thoughts of how you're gonna manage, how you're gonna make ends meet, how your retirement portfolio does not look good at this time, how you're gonna manage with all these kids underfoot? And all that's doing, church family, we allow it, it's going to eat holes in the lining of our stomach. God's given us a spirit of a sound mind, of a disciplined mind. All right, so what have we learned thus far in this first message of this series? Listen, number one, dangerous, fierce times will come. We are living in the last days, not the final hour, the last days. And listen, with calamity, with disaster, with pandemics come rumors. Listen, don't let your heart be frightened. Don't let your heart be startled. Don't let your heart submit to fear or, you know, lay the welcome mat out to fear. No. Resist it, rebuke it, and tell it to get out of your life in the name of Jesus. And fight those thoughts of fretfulness instead of rolling over every time they come and allowing them to beat you to a pulp. Say, no way. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this time together. Lord, we want to be faithful to you. We want to be strong. We want to experience that power that you say you've given us. We want to experience that love, Lord, that drives out fear. We want to experience the soundness of mind. We want to have a mind that's peaceful, Lord. Not that's like a runaway train going from anxious thought to worst case scenario, to worst case scenario, to worst case scenario. Father, we give you thanks for this in Jesus' name. Amen.